in a theater with like a whole bunch of fucking fools. Like some big stupid show, like Lavelle Crawford and friends, and Cheryl Underwood and myself, and Tony Roberts, and like,
be
I don't know why it's big.
Who keeps to their time show?
I'm gonna tell you who keeps to their time. Motherfucking Lunell does. I don't do a minute over what the fuck they paying me for. I'm not what, you know, I tell people all the time, this microphone is like a crack pipe to some people. They pick it up and they can't put the motherfucker down. You're like that.
That's funny you say that, because I used to smoke crack, so I know what you're talking about.
Me too.
They pick it up and just trying to still get that, trying to look for that big laugh that ain't going to come.
Yeah, that's the big hit. They want that big hit again.
Yeah.
They want that big one again. And you're only going to get the big one the one time.
And they're going to keep looking at staring at the floor, looking for it. Tasting it. Y'all can hear her.
Okay, cool. All right, so, you know, because I'm kind of loud, so I'll hold it down.
Yeah.
All right. So, go ahead.
So, what's up, fool? Podcast. I'm here with Felipe Esparza. Happy Mother's Day, whoever you guys are listening to out there. Single dads, too, if you're out there with no, you're a single dad. You're happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Yeah.
We're here with comedian Lanel.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, bien.
And she speaks Spanish, fool.
Poquito.
Poquito. She knows the basics.
Bang a Mexican.
Por favor. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, for 3 years. Tres años.
Tres años.
Sí.
Had the burrito, huh?
Yeah, no, it was more, well, okay, I'm not going to go into that.
It was more like a flauta, but we won't go there. More like a taquito, but. King taco. More like a, I wouldn't say king taco.
Okay, King Taco rocks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm vegetarian now, I'm vegan.
I know, that's crazy. Are you Mexican?
Yeah, I know.
So, vegan Mexican. So, just the beans, huh?
Just beans and avocado and rice.
That's fucking crazy. You eat brown rice.
Yeah.
Mm.
But Mexican rice is made with chicken broth.
Yeah.
That's why it tastes good.
Well, yeah, I've been doing that for a while myself. So that's why I like Mexicans and stuff, because, you know, the Black and the Mexican thing is so similar. They like to go to church, even the gangbangers, and, you know, they take care of the elderly, and we like rice and beans and shit, and we cuss a lot, drink a lot, have loud parties till late at night. So we all get along in this neighborhood because there ain't no more Blacks and Mexicans over here. So they have a party till 4 a.m. We don't say shit. We have a party till 4 a.m. They don't say shit. It's when the white people come. That's when they call the policia. We got the problems.
I know they say it's getting rowdy, but it's just hip-hop music playing.
Well, sometime.
Or they say there's too many people, but it's like chente playing.
Right, but you guys, it's always with the fucking tuba. I don't understand what that is. Boom, 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 boom. What's up with that? Well, I'm glad that the tuba's getting some love from somewhere, because kind of a weird-ass
I know, right? Before, the tuba was just jazz. Boom, 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 boom. They're, yeah. Watch out, the Mexicans are coming. Bum, 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 bum,
I'm bum, making, you can't see me, I'm making a little shark thing with bum, my bum, hand bum, right now.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know the Jaws music.
And like, I say, like, when you talk about, I always mess with mariachis, I always say, like, yeah, but I play that, my favorite mariachi song, I don't know how it goes, but it ends goes, like this, dun, dun.
Yeah, they all do. That's it. I had on, to make you feel comfortable, I had on, you know, that Barlamos or whatever on my Sirius radio shit. You know, I saw up because my housekeepers are Mexican too. And so I always
you
have
made
the,
it. You know, you made it when you don't have a relative cleaning your house.
No, but listen, my first housekeepers and yard people was a couple. And they're Mexican, and then she had an affair on him, and he fucking drank himself to death, and he died on Thanksgiving.
Damn.
So they didn't have nobody. And I'm like, fuck. So then I got these two sisters, and they were great. And one of them gets pregnant. And so she's got this kid hanging off her tit, like, you know, I was inconvenient because she's breastfeeding. So I had to wait till the kid got out the tit. My place was like shithole. It just got cleaned up like a week ago. You're coming at a good time.
Well,
this place,
well,
you write your name in dust all over this bitch. Far be it from me to clean my own house or my daughter. Fucking chores.
They were just laying up then, huh?
Yeah, it was chilling.
My mom, she used to clean houses.
Well, everybody's mom did. Mine didn't. She was a nurse. But like my grandmother, you know, my aunts and all that kind of stuff.
That's why my mom would clean houses and then would go home and to another dirty house.
Right.
She'll beat the shit out of her ass.
You see, I stopped the cycle. I'm not cleaning nothing else. Fuck that. I'm not doing shit. I barely wash out the tub because I can go by 3 times before I wash it.
That's why you love hotels, huh?
I do. Me fuck too, that. Man. Yeah.
I am friendly to hotel staff.
Me too. I tip them and everything.
I speak Spanish.
I put all the garbage in the can and in one area, and I put all the towels together so they don't have to come in. They don't have to, oh, there's another towel over here. I'm very considerate. I learned that from, of course, being in so many. And then my Mexican boyfriend taught me to be considerate. Because his dad used to work in a restaurant. He's like, don't have all the dishes all over the table when we leave. Let's stack them. So when they come, they can just grab them. I was like, okay. So
that's I do funny. That in other restaurants. My mom would do that. We'll be eating Olive Garden. And then she'll stack up all the plates.
You stack them all up and put all the silver so that they can just grab them.
Now, for that time, you don't work here.
Yeah, but, you know, you're sitting there. You're not doing shit.
Yeah, right.
Why not help out? Right.
So what's up, Lonel? What's it like to be like a mom and a comedian?
Well, it sucks for the most part because, like, when the guys go out on the road, their kid is usually, you know, home with their baby mama or their, you know, mom or whatever. I don't have any parents anymore. And my daughter's father lives in the Bay Area. He's involved, but he lives in the Bay Area. And all my sisters and brothers live out in Texas. So it's just her and I really here in L.A. So when I used to leave, which I'm leaving tomorrow, you know, she's here by herself. And luckily for me, she had, during my incarceration and everything, she lived with a grandma and she got very good church upbringing. She's a really good girl and she's involved in dance and she's a dancer. So she's not ripping around the streets or doing any of that ratchet shit that I was doing. Because if my mom and dad was gone and I had a car and the motherfucking house, shit. Even when I didn't have that, I was fucking all over the place and all that stuff. She don't be doing all that. Well, okay, she did it 3 times, but she told me. We have open relationship like that.
So you were locked up?
Yeah, I was locked up for a little while.
Wow.
Yeah, down at Twin Towers.
I remember on Instagram, one of your throwbacks was, because you were very, very happy because 20 years ago, you spent some time right there.
Yeah. You must have shot a picture I shot of Twin Towers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I robbed a bank.
You robbed a bank?
Mm-hmm. If you could call it embezzlement, but I like to make more hardcore and say I robbed it. I did rob it. It was just from the inside.
The smart way.
Yeah, and I had no crime partner, so that was good. Nobody could
snitch me out. It was a white collar crime.
Right, that's what the girls were telling me. That's what all the crack hoes were telling me. And so, I got away with it for like over 10 years and shit. But finally, when I had my baby and I couldn't do no stand-up because I had a C-section, you apply for WIC and all that shit, and then the Social Security numbers crossed up, and they came to Oakland and got me and extradited me back out here, maybe due to that.
Wow, so you were in the Twin Towers?
Mm-hmm.
I was locked up there, like, for warrants, mm-hmm. And at one time when I was, like, 1990,
mm-hmm.
I was, because I used to live in Pico Aliso Housing Projects,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, in Boyle Heights, mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard of those projects.
I don't know where Boyle Heights is.
Yeah, Aliso Village used to be, like, it was, like, Aliso Village, Pico Gardens, Pico Aliso. It was like blacks, Mexican black, Vietnamese.
Like the fucking Marcy Projects from New York.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Okay.
They had caught me like for an ounce and a half of crack.
Mm-hmm. God, you had that much?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Are you kidding?
And I was like 20 years old.
God damn, were you selling it? I hope you weren't smoking all that shit.
I wasn't fucking yet. Oh. I was delivering it to somebody.
Oh, God
damn. Me and another guy.
That's a lot of fucking dope.
And the police. You know, it's funny because we were walking, and I saw this is how LAPD, you know, they shouldn't wear badges at night. Because I saw the flare from mm-hmm. the light on his badge, and I started walking away from him. And then I saw, he said, hurry. Then I just stopped, and I dropped it right there, but he didn't see me drop anything. So I just kept walking, and got as far away as I can from it, over 200 yards.
Right. We be knowing all the cop, you know, all the stats. All the stats.
Yeah, because even like when the housing police, because there was a housing project police, I would know that they go home at 3 a.m. So I'll be out there at 3:40.
Do you think that like, all of us comedians have these crazy-ass backgrounds, or do, you know, I guess maybe a lot of, some of the white ones, they just grow up, and they go to school and decide, oh, it's always funny in school, class clown, and maybe I'll be a comic. But I don't know. I think the great ones, you know, always have something crazy in our background. You know, you can be a comic, sure. But to be a great one, I think that you really have to have some shit to draw on, you know? And then that makes you relatable to a lot of the fucking ex-crack dealers and hoes and the audience that pay to come and see you, you know? What do you think about that?
I think you have more to pick from as far as material instead of going up there and saying, what should I write about? You know, like, I feel like I could, like, walk into any audience and just talk about whatever I'm talking about, like, growing up. Selling coke, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then people will relate to me. The struggle, I think.
You know, I usually start my show up sometimes. I don't have a norm. But sometimes when I feel I'm in front of an audience that doesn't know me as much as a regular, you know, a fan base would, I start, I'm going to tell them a little about myself, you know, how I grew up and stuff like this. And I tell them, you know, that I used to smoke crack and stuff and that. I looked like this when I was smoking. I was still fabulous. I never went off the deep end or looked like some crackhead or no shit like that. It's just, you know, late at night, you come home with $500-$600, ain't nobody around, ain't got shit else to do, nobody come visit you. The only person that will come over is fucking dope man. So, you know what I mean? He'll always come over. So I started telling him, and I'm like, you know, I'll say stuff like, I used to say I was so embarrassed about it that I would never talk about it on stage. But the most embarrassing thing is the fact I didn't get the fucking weight loss that they promised me with this fucking crack. I mean, it's supposed to lose some weight. Goddamn, I'm doing crack. It can't lose no weight. It must ain't meant for me to be no smaller if I can't lose no motherfucking weight on crack. Goddamn, you know, shit, I'm not letting the pipe get hot enough, or I didn't put a big enough kit on. I'm not doing it right. So,
like, what are they cutting this with?
Yeah, what are they cutting this shit with? You know, cake mix? It's not working.
I don't know. Some people get really skinny. But me, I never got skinny.
Me
I just
neither.
Stood the same
motherfucker.
Weight. I just got more scanless.
I plead the fifth right here. I'm gonna stop with that subject
Because I remember I was telling we were talking to this other young. It was a young comic that he was doing comedy for a year, and we were talking about pot smoking, and I told him that I didn't really start smoking really pot till I became a comedian, and I didn't start being scanless again. So I started being a comedian.
Well, I think there's a very, very thin line from being a drug dealer and being a comedian. It's really, you're selling the same shit, you know, and it's all your personality, the customers you're going to get. I was going to say something. Oh, as far as like that drinking, right? So you've been off the sauce for like 3 years.
3 years.
And like, I got a full bar over there. I don't sit around here in the house drinking.
5 years.
5 years? Yeah. Damn.
2009.
Not nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, so I've got a bar over there, and I don't sit here and drink at home, you know? If people come over and they'll have a drink, or depending on what I'm doing, I usually just drink when I'm at shows or whatever. But I'm almost to the point now where I can't get drunk anymore. I've drank so much that I really hardly can get drunk unless I just do something ratchet, like drink Long Island's or some gin. So I think I might be on my way to quitting, too. What's it like?
I don't know. You don't want to hang out as much.
Do you think you're, like, tempted? Or
I get tempted every morning.
You used to be a morning drinker?
Yeah. Like I could have a drink over there right now and then go somewhere else and then come back and drink more. But then once I start drinking, but see, my problem is as soon as I start drinking, like, I'm saying, like, if I'm going to fall off the wagon today,
yeah.
I got to make sure that there's a drug dealer nearby.
It's a gateway thing for you.
Yeah, it's a gateway thing for
me. If you're
going to
drink, you're going to go get all fucked up.
Yeah, I'm going to get fucked up and disappear for 3 days. Like, I got to make sure it's a place where it's going to be easy to find coke.
Oh, really?
For reals. Like, one time I was doing some show and I was getting mad at this promoter. You call yourself a promoter, bro? You don't know one fucking coke dealer?
Yeah, what kind of promoter are you?
What are we doing, a church gig here? And I was at his house making fun of him. I got into a fight with another comedian.
Awesome. You're my kind of drunk.
So I just drinking Patron at his house. He kept arguing, calling him a fake cholo, calling him, you ain't shit. You guys ain't got nothing in LA.
You're fucking amazing. That's my kind of, I like a drunk that's going to be like, you know, I have a personality with your shit. Either be the happy, fun drunk, or be the crier, or be the fucking asshole, or the fighter. Just don't drink and be the same motherfucker you were when you weren't drinking. That's no fun.
I'm the happy guy that wants to continue the party. Like, I don't want it to end. Like, whatever goes. Like, I go from one party. I would go, like, from one party. All right, man, this party is pretty lame. There ain't no coke here. Then I go, I meet somebody just for a ride to the next party. And then from there, I just continue it on to where finally end up back to the crack house by my house.
Now, do you go to meetings and shit like that?
No, I
don't
go to meetings.
Okay, okay. It's like comedians said, meetings are for alcoholics. I'm a drunk.
Yeah.
Somebody used to say that. And then, so, were you drinking when you did Last Comic Standing?
No, I was sober now.
Oh, okay.
I've been, like, sober a year.
That's great. That's cool. I applaud you. Don't.
I got bad because I was at the last stop in Houston, and I was partying all day. This probably was my lowest point. I called up room service, and I said, is there a possible way that you could send me Arm & Hammer baking soda and a big-ass spoon?
You asked room service for that?
And they brought it. I don't know if they wanted to bring it because to be cool, or maybe they want to look at my face.
Yeah, maybe that.
Oh, it was bad.
That's hilarious. I think that's fucking amazing. But that's what makes, you know, but look at the story, though, you know? Look at the story and look at the transition. And so do you like your life much better on the sober side?
Yeah, I think everybody around me does.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I don't notice people leaving.
Right.
I just notice who stayed.
Nobody's called you an asshole lately.
Not
or
lately.
Anything like that.
Not to my face.
Ba-dum.
Ba-dum, boom.
Okay, that's cool. Well, so what else? Ask me something, because I'm such an interviewer of my damn self.
Yeah.
Look, I'm interviewing your ass.
Have you ever, like, because on my other show, like, I was talking about how when I was a young comic, you know, a young male
Adam,
comic.
Adam, take some pictures of me and Philippe in action.
A young male comic.
I got a hot guy over here.
Like, where did
audience.
You first start doing stand-up? In Oakland?
No, actually. I was living in Long Beach in the late 80s, early 90s. And I started in Long Beach, and then I had to abscond my criminal sentencing. So I moved back to Oakland on the fly, and then I was doing stand-up in Oakland. And I kept wondering, when are they fucking going to bust me? Like, my name's in the paper. Lunel at the Paramount Theater. I'm like, oh, this is it. You know, I kept waiting for it to be served all the time. But, So Oakland, after I was doing it everywhere in Oakland, doing TV and everything like that, I did everything that I could do out there, and I said, it's time to go.
Oh, but you got served while you were a comedian?
Yeah. Yep.
So you were
so
running.
When I went to jail, well, I had been on TV already on Comic View like 6 times.
Yeah.
So when I went to jail, they knew who I was. Here's the ironic thing. When I did The Rock, part of the jail scenes were filmed at Twin Towers, which was being built before they closed Sybil Brand. Then you fast forward 10 years later, well, not 10 years, but maybe a year later, because I went to jail when my baby was real small, like not even one. And a year later, I'm in the jail that the movie I'm in had filmed in. Like,
wow.
Figured that the fuck out.
So damn. So
you
just tell anybody in jail, man, I was in here before y'all.
I was in here before y'all. And
I know the escape routes.
Yeah, and the cops, the warden people, they used to be like, Campbell, what are you doing in here? I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you let me the fuck out? Shit. I was convinced they were going to lose my paperwork. I was never going to get out of jail. This is it. This is fucking shit. So I'm so paranoid of going to court now. Like, I had a court date yesterday because I got a ticket for running a red light in 2012, which I don't even fucking remember. One of those cameras, I don't know. And so it was so much money. I said, I'm not paying this motherfucker. I'm going to go to court. But I'm so paranoid of going to a court for anything that my court appointment yesterday was at 1:30. And at 8:15, I called and paid the motherfucker over the phone which knocks out your court date. So I don't, because I just, I got all the way up to the day I was supposed to go to court, and I said, I can't fucking do it. I can't just, I said, they're going to keep me. I was like, take off all my jewelry before I go. I know they're fucking going to keep me. And I'm just paranoid. I just couldn't do it. I paid you so much fucking money. Paid that shit. But I got another show. I'll get the money back. I'm like, you may never get out if they get you. So I can't go to court. I can't go to court. I can't visit you. I can't motherfucking go for no ticket. I can't go. You have to take me from this fucking door screaming to go to motherfucking. I can't do it. I'm too. I can't. I can't do it.
Man, I know.
So Felipe, if you go to jail, I cannot come visit you. I can't even put no money on your books, Holmes, unless I can do it from the phone.
Damn.
Right. I'm not going.
When I used to do a show in the Sunset Room, and I'm paranoid too.
Like, I remember the Sunset Room. What, on Kawanga?
Yeah, the Sunset Room on Pomona.
Oh,
on
there.
On Hacienda, east side, past the 605.
Right. Oh, shit. No, I don't fuck around now.
Put it this way. People show up with backpacks there because homeless people all hang out right there, and we do comedy at night. People get off the bus to go there, but there's a restaurant during the day, and they have comedy on Monday nights.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
And sheriffs go in there, right, to watch the show. And I remember, because I get paranoid, I want to know what's out there on me. Mm-hmm. And I would tell the sheriff, could you just run my ID real quick?
See Yeah.
And yeah, then just find out if it's, what's out there.
Right, what's out there? Do you do it, like, periodically? Like maybe
no, that was the last time.
Hey, where's the weirdest place you ever did comedy at, though?
Man.
I know mine.
Where?
In a laundromat.
Lucy's?
No. There's this place in San Francisco. They call it the Brainwash. And it's got a stage, and it's got a wine bar in the laundromat, like, on one side. And then you can go, like, you can actually be doing your laundry, tell a joke while they're laughing, go add the fucking fabric softener, come back and do the shit and drink wine. It's still there, and they're still doing comedy at the Brainwash, San Francisco, or on a park on a picnic table.
What show did you perform here in L.A.? Did you ever do that at Maverick Flats?
Yeah.
Did you ever do that that show on 43rd and Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a TPT.
At the Regency West. Where Robin Harris used to be all the time, yeah.
I performed there once.
You did?
Yes. I did a show at the Comedy Store, and I met a comedian named D. Lane, or some black comic. Mm-hmm. And he said, you should go down here. And I went there. I was the only Mexican there, besides mm-hmm. the guys making that good chicken. And then my first line was, I'm a scared motherfucker. Ah! Everybody laughed.
Yeah.
And then I was nervous as hell.
But why are people so scared of black people?
Huh?
Why is everybody so scared of black people? Like, all entertainers, security is black guys, and, like, why is everybody so scared of us? Well, we're the motherfuckers that we ain't got shit. So what's everybody afraid of?
I was just nervous with the audience because I never performed in an all-black audience.
Yo, what do you think they're going to do to you, though?
Boo!
Okay, so like what if Apollo. You get booed
boo!
So well? So what?
Because I would think a black audience just like the Apollo, like just booing everybody.
Because we're the motherfuckers that judge. You make us laugh and you can motherfucking do it.
Then when I did it, okay, I'm here. I'm chill. I'm moonwalking here.
That's cool.
I could
you
dance.
You should have just had a black girlfriend. You ever date a black girl?
I dated a black girl at maybe like for a day, but it felt like 5 years. I don't know if she
what
was Cuban.
What the fuck does that
I don't
mean?
Know if she was Cuban or Latina. Like, and within 3 hours, she wanted me to move in already. She's 6'2". I don't know if she wanted to be making me her boyfriend or she wanted to cut all my hair in the middle of the night.
You dated her, and 3 hours later, she wants you to move the fuck in. That's us. If we like you, we like
and
you.
And then, like, you know, you're partying, you're drinking, you know, you're at that moment when you're, when you're bullshitting, yeah, let's move in. I'll bring my couch tomorrow. You know, we're going to take care of it. You know, I know you like meth. I like coke. We'll work it out. It was weird because
I don't know why we didn't get the fuck together. The fuck we could have got together.
Could
have been a power couple. Can't
I know,
you
right?
See
we
would have
had Cubans running around.
Damn it, I wish I'd have had you when you were all fucked up. We could have, you my type of motherfucker. Because I don't know what it is about me. I think there's a neon thing on my forehead somewhere that says, are you unemployed? Are you down on your luck? Are you a piece of shit? Apply within. And only men can fucking see it. And I can't fucking see it. I ain't never had a man with no money. Never in my motherfucking life. I never had been on a shopping spree. I ain't never had no man fly me no motherfucking way. These bitches, you know, Kim Kardashian, that's why I hate that fucking bitch. What is it in her pussy that makes brothers go up in there and they cannot come the fuck out? What is it about that bitch? What is it about her that they always, she gets the fucking world? All the couture clothes and she gets to fly her. What is it about that bitch? I know I suck better dick than she does. I know I do.
I don't know either about her. Probably that big ass.
I got a big ass. I just got a big belly so that that distracts from the, you can't, you know, people get sidetracked. Fucking shit.
So that's crazy because that your forehead just attracts broke guys.
Yeah.
I just came out of rehab. I'm in between
jobs.
I don't
really have anywhere to live right now. Yeah.
At this moment.
I don't have a car, but yeah, come on in. Sure. Right, just my type.
I think when I met my girlfriend, I didn't have a car either.
Of course not. Because you motherfuckers got a dick, and your dick is the key to the city. And as long as you got a fucking dick, there's a bitch that will take you in. But be a broke-ass woman in this motherfucking town. I don't have no car, but what's wrong with you, bitch? I ain't got nowhere to live. What's wrong with you, homeless bitch? You know, we can't get a motherfucker. I ain't known a man with an apartment since 1977.
Damn.
Right.
Guys don't want to step it up, I guess.
You sure you don't want to drink?
No, I'm not drinking.
I'm just bullshitting.
You know, so this black girl I dated for one day.
The one girl.
Yeah.
For the one day.
At the end of the night. When
I fucking crying over here.
When I woke up in the morning, I was like, I felt kidnapped. Like, I didn't have a car. I was like, fuck, who's going to pick me up? He goes, this girl's talking crazy already. You know, she's giving me chores. And she had a shirt on, like a mid-cut t-shirt that said psycho bitch. Like she was spelling it out. Run now.
Woo!
So.
Oh, fuck, Philippe.
Three days later.
You better talk. Do you talk on stage about dating that sister?
The first time I ever mentioned it.
Motherfucker, you better put that in your ass.
Especially
next time you got
it.
A lot of black people in the audience about a black girl you dated.
She said that 3 days later, she called me up and left a message. You motherfucking Mexican motherfucker. You took advantage of this poor southern girl.
Yeah.
I gave you my body. You just took advantage of this poor southern black woman. And then along, like 5 years later, 2 years later, I get a text. I hope you remember Track A.
Track A.
It was Tracy, but she pronounced it Track A.
Track A. My people. My people. We're a mess.
That's why, no, I always talk about, like, I always see, like, black men with, like, beautiful Latina women. This is part of my act. And I say, I never see a black woman with a Mexican man. Like, when a black woman, I'm pretty sure when a black woman thinks about a Mexican man, all she thinks about is ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
No, no. Well, sometime I get in the car, he had to turn that shit off.
I walked up to a black girl once, and she was beautiful. Like, she said, fool, do I look like I want to buy oranges from your ass?
Oh, that's so racist.
That shit hurt my feelings, man.
Where do y'all get them motherfucking oranges, though? Okay, riddle me this. Where do the fucking roses come from? And where do the motherfucking oranges come from?
Where do you get them?
Where they come from?
They're in downtown L.A. at the Farmers Smart Supermarkets industry. What do they call it? Like the garment district? There's a garment district in downtown L.A., but there's also a food district.
Okay, okay.
And it's on First and Central by the Greyhound Station.
Okay.
And if you go there like at 7 in the morning, you could buy all dozen roses for, like, wholesale prices for a dollar. Mm-hmm. You could buy bags of oranges. Mm-hmm. So the guy with all the money goes, buys it all, and he has his neighbor sell it for him.
So who's dropping these motherfuckers off at the freeway entrance? And they just stand there. They ain't got no chair. They're dedicated fools. They about their rose motherfucking hustle. They just stand there. Like, I'm just telling you, just for me, when I'm waiting at the red light, the last thing on my mind is buying fucking roses. I'm just saying.
Or a big old balloon.
Or a fucking rocking horse. There's a motherfucker up the street who sells rocking horses. I swear to God. I'm like, who wants these old polluted ass motherfuckers? I'm not going to put my kid on that motherfucker. What's wrong with you? Swear.
That's the first thing I noticed when I parked outside your house.
What? Well, I wish you would say something about my...
Four Mexicans and bicycles drove by coming out of houses.
Yo, people.
And then another guy passed by with fresh peanuts.
I can do all my grocery shopping right warm, from the motherfucking porch.
Warm peanuts.
But look, you bought the bitches.
I had to.
And I thank you.
I support my people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep the neighborhood from being gentrified.
Well, you know, you can be a vegan over here because you got peanuts, you got oranges, you
tamales.
Know.
Tamales.
They don't hardly put no meat in the bitches, no way. So you can buy the tamales. You know, I know good tamales. I used to, the guy that died, he used to make me tamales every Christmas. These motherfuckers, all that corn shit, one little piece of meat in the middle. It was damn near vegan any fucking way.
But they got hot dog with bacon.
I love that shit.
Killing brothers all over the neighborhood.
Oh my
though.
God. If you guys would just wrap your fucking dick in bacon, I would tear that shit up. You want to get a bitch to suck your dick? Dip that motherfucker in some bacon grease. Woo! Tear that shit up. I'm tired of all this old flesh. I don't have no flavor.
You destroy it everywhere you go. And I know you're a strong comic. Do you ever get to those shows where motherfucker walk up to you, hey, Lanell, mind if this guy goes up before the show because he goes somewhere else?
Yeah.
Or, Lanell, this comedian, man, he needs to, I know he's scheduled to go up at 10:50, and you're going up at 9. You mind if he just goes up? Because
I used to don't mind.
Me too.
But now I'm an asshole about it.
Give me some.
Okay? I'm like, fuck you, fuck him, and fuck no. Okay? Because the motherfucker that you let up to do 2 minutes has now been on stage for 25 fucking minutes. And your time and your audience is waiting on you. And they got this hack up there that's done comedy for 2 weeks and wants to get some money, by the way. I'm like, you can get your motherfucking ass out of my face. So I don't do it anymore. You know, I still get bumped and shit. Like, I go to a comedy store, fucking Epps come in, may as well sit down. You know, it's over. They're going to bump me. And then finally, I was at the Improv. My boy, I told him, I said, I came in there, Spike's always like giving me love. I said, so bump somebody, let me go up. And he did. I felt like fucking, you know, Kevin Hart around this bitch. I'm like, yeah, fool, bumped your ass.
Bumped your ass, fool. I never wanted to be like that comic, but I still haven't bumped anybody yet.
Yeah, I bumped somebody. It felt great.
Because I remember, like, I would do a show. Like, this is like when I was at the comedy store. And I remember I had some people show up. And then Eddie Griffin shows up. Andrew Dice Clay shows up and does 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you let a legend bump you, you just go home. Because they are going to be up. Chappelle will do it too. Fucking 2.5 hours. It's like, I didn't get bumped. I got replaced. You know, like, I'm gone.
Like, so, at another time, so the Dice Man goes up and does 2, and then Eddie Griffin shows up. He does 4.
Now it's 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it's like 3 in the morning. And I'm just watching. So I'm just watching his whole comedy. Yeah. I was a young comic. Oh, shit. I saw the Dice Man and Eddie Griffin together.
Right.
What the fuck?
Right.
Yeah, but then I forgot that didn't go up.
The bus don't run no more. They get in their car, drive away, and your ass is standing
your
in front
car
of the comedy
towed.
Like, right. Oh, dude. Oh.
Like, when I didn't get bumped, but I didn't learn my lesson then, because I had a show on a Saturday night or a Monday night. And, no, probably a Wednesday night.
Oh, and well, there's no difference.
Wednesday night at the
What's
Laugh
the
Factory.
What's the difference? In L.A., Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, they're all the fucking same day.
And Dane Cook was going up on stage, and I saw these two comedians leave as soon as he showed up. They left. And I said, all right, I'm going to go up right after Dane Cook. He does, motherfucker, 7 hours.
What is that?
7 hours.
What is that shit?
And then the manager told me, if you would have waited, Felipe, I would have brought you up right next.
Right.
Said, for what? To serve
it's
breakfast
fucking
burritos?
Fucking Thursday, right, bro?
To give everybody menudo bowls? To what? To fucking tell everybody your car got towed because they towed cars at 2 in the morning? And some people did get their car towed.
Yeah, because the valet will go home.
The valet has to go home and buy those oranges in South Central.
That's right. Wow, what a Mother's Day show. Hello, you mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
You don't have no kids?
I have 3 kids.
You do?
Yeah.
You got 3 baby mamas?
I have 2 baby mamas and a half. Well, one of them has a stepchild, so it's probably kind of, I could
okay, that's the half.
Half.
Okay, that's cool. All right, you like your kids? Everybody don't like their kids.
I love my kids. I wish they loved
me. I didn't ask you, did you love your kid?
Oh, did I love them?
I said,
them
do
at
you
love?
No, I didn't ask you that. Do you like them?
I like them.
You have to think about it. One day they got to hear this shit, baby.
Oh,
no, but actually they won't, because you know why? Because they don't fucking give a fuck. Like, Lucille Ball's kids have made a living off of Lucille Ball's shit. Like, they know everything she's ever done, and they got an archive, and they got it written down, they can pull up this, and Lucy and my dad, Desi. My kid, I've got hundreds of hours of videotapes from me when I was pregnant with her, and when I had her, she don't give a fuck. If your name ain't motherfucking Kanye West, or motherfucking Young Jeezy, or Rihanna, or Jay-Z, or Beyonce, she don't give a fuck, she don't even exist. I'm like, bitch, do you know you live with a legend? Do you know who the fuck I am? She don't give a shit. She don't give a fuck about what I'm doing. So they'll never hear this shit. Fuck them.
You never took to any of your shows?
She comes to the shows. You know what she be doing? Earphones, iPad, that's it. And people like, oh, my God, you know, what do you do about all the language in your daughter? That show? My daughter ain't heard me cuss at a show in fucking years. She got them headphones on. And plus, I ain't doing nothing on stage that I don't do at the house. Shut the fuck up and take out the goddamn garbage. What the difference is saying that and talking about your pussy on stage, I ask you.
So you have a new Christian DVD coming out.
Yeah. Actually, it's available now. It was taped in my church, you motherfucker. And it's called Let the Church Say Rolling on the Floor, you motherfucker, bitch. Yes. And it's available at HeyLunell.com. Sort of. We're going to put it up.
All right, guys. If you want to hear her Christian DVD, go to Lunell.com and she'll clean it up.
Yeah. No, listen. I want all the money, not just the sinner's money. And so a lot of moms and stuff, people come to the show and be like, my mom's a big fan of yours, but she just can't take all that cussing. I said, I got something for her ass. Here, give her this. It's my new Christian DVD.
Where did you tape that at?
At my church.
Which one?
Adam, can you get me a DVD from in the office right there? At New Ground Harvest Church, which has fell apart and is no more.
Fell apart?
Yeah.
How do the church go to lose business?
Well, this particular church lost business because the pastor and the first lady of the church got a divorce. That pissed everybody off. And then he got a new hot wife, and that pissed everybody else off. And so it started to fall apart, and people left. And I watched this whole shit, but I was on the road. I'd come back, it'd be 30 people. I'd go on the road, come back. It'd be 15 people. I'd go on the road, come back. Before people, and me finally was just like damn near just me.
Sounds like a comedy career. He used to pack them in.
Yeah, now it's
then
pitiful.
What happened, man?
What happened? Where did it all go wrong? So, yeah, for sure. I'll let you have that. As
I'll
a matter of fact,
it,
gift that to you.
You know, it's funny when you said that that you were a bank robber, a story clicked on my head, man.
Okay, I didn't say I was a bank robber. Oh. I said, I robbed a bank.
When you
it was really
bank.
Embezzlement, if you want to use the technical term.
She was skimming off the top.
Right.
When you were skimming off the top,
yeah. That
story clicked on me because I remember a comedian told me that they were at a comedy show and the promoter was a bank robber and they took him and arrested him at the show.
I have got served papers at a show before.
I got served child support. You know how they got me?
Yeah.
The way they could catch any comedian. Hey, man. Oh, you're so funny.
Sign this your autograph.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to put you in this movie. We have a script written just for you. No script. And then the next day I got served.
Right. I got served walking. I thought it was a fucking fan. Motherfucker. Hand me the shit. You've been served. Like, who the fuck are you? Fuck is this shit? Ugh. Because they can find us. That's the thing. Even if we have a stalker or any kind of shit. You got it. I got a lot of internet stalkers. Like, because I talk so nasty on stage, they all want to, like, do nasty shit. You know, and I think I missed my calling. I think I should be some kind of internet porn fucker. because I got old guys in the Bronx wanting to jack off an uvu and all kind of motherfucking feet motherfuckers, nail motherfuckers.
We do have pretty feet.
I do got great feet, right?
Yeah.
Don't I?
They got a yay going on.
I got no corns, no bunions. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, take a picture, take a picture of my fucking feet. The visual for the website. You got a flash?
Yeah. Those are beautiful feet right
Thank
there.
Thank you. I like this ankle better than that ankle because when I fly, that bitch swells up. Isn't that cute? Good girl. All you people out there on the podcast, we're going to have visuals to go along with these. There's my feetsies. Would you like to take a picture of my vagina? I've been told that that was fabulous as well. Here, go on up under there. I wore a dress just in case you wanted to see it. You have to hold my stomach up, though, in order to get the real good shot.
The lift.
The lift. Damn it. Well, how old are the kids, Felipe?
Oh, my kids are old, man.
How old?
Let me see.
You Mexicans, you start making babies, what, 12,
13? I grew up pregnant in high school, actually.
Nice. That's
in high school,
that's
I remember she told me she was pregnant at lunchtime.
Okay. Was she unpregnant by dinner time?
Yeah, what happened was when I won Last Comic Standing,
yeah,
she filed for child support the next day.
No doubt.
And she became the last baby mama standing. And I was like Tina Turner. I felt like Tina Turner. I just got my name back.
Right. And then there it goes.
Get a driver's license and all that.
You know, this would be funny. Like, you remember Chico and the Man and shit? Like, what if me and Felipe played a married couple? What do you think? Can you see it?
I can see it.
Can you see it? And we're a fucking couple. We need to write something. Hey, people out there. What?
I remember I did a show with you in Ventura. No, it was in Oxnard, actually. Mm. With that guy, I can't think of his name.
You know that.
But it was a great show. And I remember you got a standing ovation.
Thank you.
Have you ever bombed?
I've never bombed. I've never
Don't
been booed.
Don't be lying.
No.
But mentally okay, bombed no, when you fell in your head.
Yeah, okay, here's what I have gotten. In my career, I have never been booed, not once, not ever. That's true. I crushed it the very first time I went on stage. That's true. But in my career, I've gotten, what they do for me is they'll give me the silent treatment like crickets.
Oh, fuck that.
I've gotten crickets.
Oh, I got him crickets.
You know, if you misjudge your audience Roaches. When you're young and you go out there and you start talking about your pussy and nobody told you that this was the motherfucking, you know, alumni for Xi Beta Kappa, whatever the fuck it is, and, you know, you should really kind of maybe be cool about your pussy. So I've gotten that, crickets. And then I've gotten, you know, people really mad at me at the end that didn't want to pay me and stuff. But I've never, you know, and I've had, of course, we've all had shows where I don't like mediocrity. I don't like to do an okay show where people just clap and they go, that was really cool. You're really funny. I like motherfuckers to choke out, spit their drink, spill it, you know, sweat, snot. I like that. I've done other shows like that because every show can't be like that, realistically. But that's what I like. That's what I love. Because I really don't do it for the money, because if I did, I would slit my own fucking throat by now because I'm not making that kind of money that I feel I deserve. And as a woman, that's just part of the game. But I really, like, I'll hear somebody laugh on the street, and if their laugh makes me happy, I'll give them tickets. Like, you know, I'll say, come to my show. I'll put you on the list. Just because I want to hear that laugh in my audience. I like laughter. I've gotten rid of friends because they cause me too much angst. And we're not laughing enough. I like to be happy. That's what I'm in this for. And we've had such bullshit, you know, in our life that I just want to be happy. I want to make everybody feel happy, you know. So I do it for the laughs.
I bombed before. I got cricket in Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah, it's like you know where you got it at, right?
I got robbed too by some guy named Pierre.
Oh my God. Well, maybe it's not the Pierre. I know two Pierres.
Pierre in Seattle.
Oh, that motherfucker. Yeah, he robbed everybody. Yeah, I won't even do Seattle now because of Pierre. I won't do Portland because my ex-husband and his family's out there. I don't want to see none of them. But Pierre has robbed everybody in comedy in Seattle. That was a rite of passage.
That's what I tell people now.
You're not a real comic.
If
he hasn't left you in a hotel room for like 2 days with no ticket or if he didn't give you all your money because he gambled it up and bought a bunch of dope with your money, then you're not a working comic because everybody in the business has been robbed by Pierre.
Mine happened in 1998 or 97. I had a gig, and a guy sent me. Who got me the gig? Juan Dexter.
Oh, Juan. Yeah.
Yeah, Juan Dexter. Sure. Yeah, this is I'll be playing OJ's forehead this year.
Yeah. It's way back here.
It's
now.
Way back here now.
Right.
I remember Juan Dexter. You know, people, you show you photos of people, of women. It's an old school Juan Dexter, and I go back. He would show me naked pictures of Polaroids.
Not those. Fuck. That's old.
I get to Hawaii. They sent me to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. The show was $700 mm-hmm. for both shows, mm-hmm. Hawaii and Tacoma. And the plane is late. They take me to the airport late, so I already missed my flight in Hawaii. And so the money that I got from Hawaii, I had to use that to get another plane because I told them, hey, man, your boy took me to the plane late. And he said, tell him a lie, like your mother died, and maybe they'll give you another plane. So I ended up making it to Seattle. And when I got to Seattle, they brought up, that's when you know it's a young comic, like 7 guest spots.
Yeah.
And a rapper.
A juggler. And a fucking model.
And a girl singing a show.
Singer.
And then they brought out the chef to show the latest dinner. Now that's Michael Conyers.
And they may as well. Yeah. He's a piece of fucking work. And I won't even go. I won't go out there just because he might show up at a show. I'm doing it. I don't have nothing to do with him. I won't even play Seattle. Sorry, Seattle. Sorry, Pierre fucked it up for you.
I do Washington, I do Yakima.
Oh, yeah. I try to stay away from all that bullshit. Just give me Maine, motherfucking. Listen, when I go to a city, state, I don't go sightseeing. I don't do shit. I get in that hotel room. Like, I land, I want to eat, I want to go in the room, I'll see you at Showtime. Even if Showtime is the next day. Ultimately, I love a red eye. Because then I can get in there and chillax, and the show's not till maybe later at night. What the fuck's going on, man? Oh, you know, I like that. Like, red eye, get in town, you know, go eat, go to the room, chillax, and the show's not till that night. Then leave the next day. I love that. But I don't go sightseeing or none of that shit because I feel like this. I don't want nobody to have, I don't want to fuck up my money. Let's say I go out and I'm in fucking Harlem. I meet a bunch of fans. We get all fucking drunk now. Or I fall down, break my fucking ankle, can't do the show. Now I'm fucked up. And it was, you know, now I'm fucked up my job. So I stay in my room. I stay in my lane. I get my fucking money and I leave. If I want to come back and get drunk in Harlem, fall down, break my leg, it'll be on my personal time, not on the show time. Because I feel like from the moment that I leave the house till the moment I get back home or leave the gig, that I'm the property of theirs. Not really leave the gig, though. Because if you have a really good show, the promoters, oftentimes, they get all carried away and get drunk and go to after party, meet bitches, get their dick sucked, throw their money around that they just made. They forget all about maybe taking you to the airport. It's always a good sign that they're not going to take you to the airport when you get that hotel close to the airport with a shuttle. Yeah, they won't be back. They won't be back. Just make your shuttle. What time does the shuttle leave? Every half hour? Good, I'll be down here. No, don't worry about it. Because they won't. They're not coming the fuck back.
Mm-mm. You were like, missed the gig? Because of partying?
I almost missed a gig, but I got a dope dealer to take me to the motherfucking gig.
Yeah.
These people came to pick me up, and I had to go pick up my kid or something, and I wasn't ready, and they fucking left me, and they thought that I wasn't going to show up. It was in San Jose. We had to go from Oakland to San Jose. Daniel Dugard, he knows about this, and they thought that they had left me, and I wasn't going to get out there to go all split my money. And I told the dope dealer, I said, I'll give you half the motherfucking money I'm about to make if you take me to fucking San Jose and wait for me just because these motherfuckers think I'm not coming. That bitch put the dope away, and we went, pew, and we went to the motherfuckers. I had the dope man take me to again. I got my fucking money. Got me fucked up. I walked through that door. They looked, thought they'd seen a ghost. I'm here. I'm ready.
That's funny. Damn.
That's true.
A dope dealer took you to the show.
Yes.
I had my crackhead partner take me to the show. At the Bray Improv.
You can get a crackhead to do anything.
Yeah, that's man. Really... This guy was hosting. I was hosting a show that I ran. And, like, it's funny, man. Like, when you bring a person that smokes crack everyone could tell that that person's most crack. Like, he was sitting by himself.
In the dark.
In the dark.
Waiting for the show to be over.
Waiting.
So you can get that motherfucker. A man, you told me he's going to give me $40. Come on!
That's how he was. Come on!
So you didn't know we had so much in common, huh, baby?
They didn't know that.
I did. I always loved you. Before I even fucking knew you, I always loved you. I don't even know why. You just cracked me the fuck up. I like good comics. I don't like hacks. Oh my God, I can't stand an arrogant motherfucker that thinks that you're the world. You're not motherfucking Richard Pryor. You're not motherfucking George Carlin. Like, pump your fucking brakes. Like, you know, you're not that. You might be the shit, but you're not that. And calm the fuck down. You ain't no better than me or this motherfucker. And you can go into, you know, some of these bitches are going to be overexposed. I know somebody I think is getting a bit overexposed right now. I'm not going to say a name. You know, these motherfuckers have almost had enough, I think, you know. And it's time to motherfucking go on vacation for a minute. Because I don't need you to have 5 movies out in a year. Like, give me a break. I want to see some other shit, you know. I'm not a fucking maniac for your ass. Oh, I hope he doesn't know that.
That's funny because they just named the top 10 earning comedians. And Gabriel Iglesias and Kevin Hart are tied.
And Gabriel has not even done a major motion picture. His shit was from his YouTube fucking fan. That motherfucker is an empire.
So Gero's tied with who? Gero's tied with somebody. I don't know. Gero made $11 million last year.
He is a mother. Fucking he gave beast. Me. Let me tell you what he gave me. We did a fucking show, Tempe, Arizona. He gives me a couple of gifts after. He gave me a gift bag. Oh, thank you, Gabriel. I get you a fucking iPad mini. Fucking gangster ass phone charger charges like 5 different things and a bunch of other shit. I was like, what? I don't usually get this shit at Christmas, you know? I've fucked people that haven't got this much shit. I didn't even have to fuck him. And he loves to bet on shit. I bet you can't eat all those sliders.
I saw that photo with you and Paul Rodriguez.
Oh my God. Yes.
How many sliders were there?
Oh, there was like 22. Those motherfuckers, hell no, I wasn't. I was over there eating an omelet. But I was watching these motherfuckers making me sick. They're turning red. They're about to throw up. They're drinking water. I'm like, why do you do this? And Gabriel's, you know, just thinking it's the funniest shit. You know, he'll bet on anything. He'll bet on anything. He bet. Now, what we did do is we raced up the steps, and my bodyguard couldn't even take the picture because he was laughing so hard because we looked like two turtles from the back just running up the steps. He loves that shit. He'll challenge you. He'll bet you. I bet you can't eat all this. I bet you can't eat all that. What's the biggest steak you got in here? I bet you can't. He'll bet on it. I love that motherfucker. And then he's just like, we did the show, after the show, because he's got all his people over here selling his merch. But if you buy, then you get the picture with him. I seen that motherfucker. He must have took 200 pictures. This is just a one show. But I've seen that before because when I was on tour with Kat, we had to literally stop taking pictures after the show. We had to stop. Because if you do a 3,000-seat theater and 2,995 of the motherfuckers want to take pictures with you, well, now you're 2 more hours after the show. The motherfucking club security people are like, we're getting overtime and they don't want to pay it to us. We got to go. So we had to stop. You know that lobby shit? Had to stop it.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
That's why I feel a certain way about certain people, because I was on the road with the greatest motherfucker since Pryor. I know what that motherfucking life is like. I know. This motherfucker was like a rock star. Touring with Kat, we had to stop flying commercial, not because he was, you know, I'm so big I need to be, but for our own, we weren't making the planes. Because by the time that you get out of the cars in front of the airport, people are texting, oh my God, Cat, you know, they're texting their other friends inside the airport. Cat Williams just pulled up. So now there's like 10 of us, because we got security and we got road manager, we got all this, and there's a bunch of luggage to check in. So we're going into the airport like a swarm, and then Everybody sees you. Everybody now it's like the Pied Piper, and the crowd's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger as you're going through the airport. You got to get through security. They always want to check him so they can pat him down and all this kind of stuff. They want to see the jewelry, you know. Can I take a picture with the crowd? Yo, can I take a picture with the Rods? And then now, he wants to stop and get some Starbucks. Everybody's coming out the gift shop. By the time you get to your gate, plane been gone for an hour.
Wow.
So we had to start flying private. So that's why this shit here that's happening with a certain person here, you know, I feel bad that, you know, what happened and, you know, Cat went through what he went through and, you know, fucked up some things, but he's back on the track now and better than ever, just silently doing it on the low, killing 9,000 seats at the Nokia. I was with him in New Year's Eve at the Nokia, 9,000 seats, sold out. But this other person, they, God bless them, they done put in their work and all that kind of stuff and stuff like that. But it's like eating homemade soup and loving it, and then your mom dies, you can't get no more of that, and all you can get is Campbell's. You gotta eat the Campbell's, it's good, but it's never gonna be as good as that. Sorry.
Wow. Jet planes and everything.
Oh yeah. My first private plane I ever flew in, the only private planes I ever flew in, was with Cat. And now we're 30,000 feet in the air. We don't fly as high as a commercial flight. But we're up in the air, smoking weed, drinking, listening to rap, walking around this motherfucker like it's the living room. I'm like, where the fuck am I right now? Like, this is unreal. And then when you fly private, you just drive to the plane and get on. Because they're going to put your luggage on. You don't have to have it checked, and you don't have to park your car. And when you come back, your car is at the plane, washed. What? I don't even know if I'm ready for that shit.
I'm ready for some smoking weed in that plane, though.
Oh, that's and listen to the music that you want. You listen to it, but it's on a headphone.
I flew with a jet plane with a big comic, Russell Peters.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I noticed when you work with someone like that, that's another guy, too, that can't walk nowhere like in Canada because he gets stopped. I learned this from working with somebody so big in the game from the fans. Hey, Felipe, I really want to take a picture with you and Russell. Then really? Me and Russell?
Right.
Are you sure it ain't just Russell? So then they take the photo, and then I go back to look at their photo, and I got cut off.
Right. You know, now you can take a picture with whoever. You can just slide that bitch up and cut the person out. But that's me. If you were to go down here to the mall with me, it'd be a motherfucking mob scene. It is. They love me. I'm what they call hood rich. I got hood love. I don't want to be hood rich, though. I want to be real people rich. You know, stuff like that. But I don't want to move to Beverly Hills and all that shit because you can't play your music loud. The police is going to come. You know, I like smelling the smell of barbecue on the 4th of July morning. I like hearing those motherfuckers over there with that tuba and all that bullshit whenever the fucking, Independence Day, whatever the fuck y'all celebrate, and all that shit. I like it. Now, that don't mean I don't want to move from this motherfucker, but I just want to go up into, like, Baldwin Hills up there. It's beautiful up there. They got some beautiful homes and stuff like that. I'll be satisfied to go up. I'm not moving to fucking Sherman Oaks. Don't worry, Calabasas. I'm not coming for your ass either. I just want to go up to Baldwin Hill. I'll be fine. That's it. Because I don't need these, the gated community got to, what's them people?
Condo people.
Them people. Yeah, the housing.
You got to pay them extra.
I'm calling the housing authority.
That's the projects.
Not housing authority. Your homeowners association. Telling you can't extra. Plant a cactus in the front yard, or we don't like that scarecrow that you got in the front yard, or maybe you should take the fuck the KKK sign down out the front of your yard. You know, goddamn, I pay for this bitch, millions of dollars. I ought to be able to do what the fuck I want to do, so I can't do it.
So what, you want to move to Montebello?
Hell no.
Echo Park. Venice.
Silver Lake? No, I do not. Silver Lake is like...
This is South Central where we are right now?
Yeah, technically.
Technically.
But it gets way more souther and way more centraler than this. This is just L.A., Crenshaw District. But you go that way about 10 miles and that way about 10 miles, you'll be deep in the heart of it, baby. It's called Compton.
Compton. Mm-hmm. I used to I used to come over here and I used to be, did you ever do that when you were a kid, like junior careers?
Well, wasn't raised here. You know, I was in Oakland. I was up in the Bay Area. But as far as career days and shit, nah, I don't know shit.
Like no, they used to be like here in a neighborhood. I don't know, you've seen these little kids. They're black. They're Latinos. They got the big box and they're selling cookies and tea and candy. And they give you that speech. Hi, I'm working with Junior Careers.
Oh, that
we're
shit.
Selling these products.
I'm like, I need a receipt. We don't have one. I'm just supposed to give you money. How I know you didn't steal all this motherfucking candy? You're going to get the money. And, you know, so I don't do it. I don't do any of that anymore. I don't give to the ding, 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 the Santa Claus bitch in front of the store. No more of that. But there's one in, where was it? Over off of Lincoln. I think it's some old Bristol Farms or some shit. And this bitch sings. So I give her money. You got to do a talent for me or something for me to give you money. Like, I'll break you off. But just stand there with a fucking gay-ass bell, I can't. I'm not doing it.
You got to do something.
I'll pay you $5. You stop ringing that motherfucker till I leave the grocery store.
Stand like a statue like this. Like that gray guy.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's amazeballs.
So you're going to appear in a sequel to Think Like a Man 2, which is scheduled on June 20?
I'm going to be silent for as long as you see me in the movie, okay? Okay, go. And that's about how long I am in the movie.
Wow.
That's it. Because I didn't have a big part when I did the first one. They just sort of threw me in. Thanks, Will Packer, though, them. I'm glad. And he asked me to come in, you get asked to do a lot of stuff, ad lib, you know what I mean? Which I love. It's great because I'm old pothead and I can't really remember a lot of lines and shit. No fucking way. I'll never do, Othello or no shit like that. But I was doing the Ricky Smiley show in Atlanta at the same time, multiple episodes. So I couldn't be in two places at the same time. I really wanted to. So by the time I got to Think Like a Man, I was just in this one scene and just blurred this thing out. So I call it a cameo. There's going to be all this on here, but I hope you don't mind. It's just a cameo, as it were. So maybe I'm like a big star to make a cameo in the movie. Yeah, but it's going to be funny as shit. It's going to be great.
You can also watch Linnell on Comedy Central on Dave Attell's show.
Oh, yeah.
May 17 at 1 a.m. Comedy Underground. How did that go?
That was cool because I love Dave Attell. I like,
did you blow everybody away?
I like shitty, nasty comics. And me and Dave, when I met Dave Attell many, many years ago, I said, this is the funniest white boy I've ever seen in my life. And he was ratchet nasty. Just crazy, you know. And I was like, who's this? So I fell instantly in love, of course. And we've been, associates ever since. So I was glad that they called me to come and do that. And I love everything about New York, so I was glad to go there and do that.
How do you prepare yourself for your when you audition? Do you audition?
Yeah, I don't really prepare well. Like, I don't do what you're supposed to do because I don't have good long term memory. I have better short term memory. So, like, I could read all day, and go over and lose it by the time I go to bed and wake up. So, more like, I'd rather read it a couple more times, get to the audition, and read it, like, 10 times before I go in. And it's fresh in my head, and I go, and go in and do it, and hope that I get it. But I am not by any means doing it right. I'm not disciplined. I don't do it right. I know how to do it right. I don't do it right. I don't like auditioning. I'd rather have another baby, and God knows I don't want to do that.
So you're going to be on Californication?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple of episodes before, and me and David Duchovny and the crew and everybody got along real well, and so they brought me back, not as the character who I was, but just as somebody else, and I was like, because when I got the call, I'm like, I'm going back to Californication. I saw they must be bringing Kathleen Turner back because I played like a receptionist or secretary or something like that. But no, this time I was just another chick. They said they just brought me back because they liked me. And so it was me and David and Heather Graham from The Hangover.
Yeah.
And so I was glad to meet her, and she was real nice and cool and stuff like that. And do you ever hijack people's number? Like if they say, like you take a picture in your phone, they go, oh, send me that. And you go, okay. And you send it, and then now it's like, I got fucking. I got Bradley Cooper's number, but I didn't have to hijack his. He gave it to me. But I got like Bradley Cooper's, and I got Heather Graham's, and I got the other chick in The Hangover, and I got some other people's numbers that I got. Oh, I'll send it to you. What's the number? Then you don't call them because they'll change your number on you. But maybe after a year, you text them, hi, remember me?
Throwback photo.
Yeah.
I'm going to tag you. What's your email?
Yeah. And that address is? Just go Google World or whatever. Find
smoke weed? You
got
smoke weed? You also on our Margaret Cho's webisode, The Transition. What is that?
Okay. Margaret Cho, I love as well because, as you know, I told you I like nasty comics. Margaret is hilarious to me. One of the funniest things in the world is her doing imitation of her mother to me. That is so funny. Oh, you know, she talking like that about her mom. And Margaret and her, she used to have a show and she had a little person friend, Selena Luna, was on it with her. And I thought Selena was so fucking funny too because she's just a little sassy little bitch. She ain't but 3 feet fucking tall, but she's just sassy and she likes, you know, likes guys and wants to get her fuck on and all that stuff. I thought she was so funny that she was as funny as Margaret. Well, as it turns out, they wrote this thing and they wanted me to be in it. And for once, I got to play the sophisticated and not the ratchet motherfucker. And so I was sort of like this Anna Wintour type of cold, you know, person who had actually been in jail with Margaret and Selena and this other girl. And I told them, if you, you know, like what's her name? Martha Stewart. I was like, if you guys protect me while I'm in here, when you get out, I'm going to take care of you and I'll break you off. And then they got out. I got out. And then they got out and they wanted to get their money. I was like, fuck you. I'm not giving you shit. And then a bunch of shit happened. Yeah, In Transition. It's the one of the, I'm really proud of that. I wish that I'd have been on some Comedy Central or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. You can maybe hit
Margaret Cho web series. Just look, Google Margaret Cho and Lonell, people.
Okay.
It's not hard to search for things. Any questions you want.
I don't even know how to find my own goddamn.
Like you go, you can find anything. Like Google it. Like Margaret Cho.
Do you do that? Do you have a computer? Do you go on it?
I search for everything.
Do you internet porn?
All the time. Really? I got sick of that. Like I was watching Pornhub. Like, I was watching it for a long time. Okay. The hot chicks at first. Then I got tired of that. Then I went to runaway chicks. Then I went to teenage trailer trash chicks.
Yeah.
Now I'm at I'm a little freak right now. I'm at him. I'm at transvestites.
I
and
love
regular chicks.
Fucking trannies.
Because I feel I'm not gay. Because it's a man,
but it's a good looking girl, man. Like I'm not gay neither,
not
but I want to fuck one. I want to fuck one. Because I'm not gay, but it's got tits and looks like a girl, but there's a dick at the end. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with that if I do that. You know, girls kiss in Vegas. So if I did that, I'm really kissing a man anyway. He got tits. You play with tits. Tits are there to be played with. But you got some dick at the end. So I thought, you know, on my bucket list, I do want to fuck a tranny, though.
A beautiful one or one of
beautiful.
Those buff ones?
No. She got to be fucking amazing. Like, you know, those Filipino ones, they're fucking beautiful, you know, or a hot. Like, when I met RuPaul, I was like, who is this gigantic fucking woman? And then I found out she's a man. So I really only like trannies in drag, though. I have another friend who's a tranny. I don't like him when he's, like, dressed down. Like, you're ugly. But then when you put your shirt on, okay, you can come over. Put that lipstick in the shirt.
Yeah, RuPaul looks weird without no makeup on.
He looks like a little sick boy.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who just wrote 10 books all in his attic.
Yeah, in the dark because he needs some sun. But, yeah, well, did you see, what was that, Two Girls in a Cup?
No. But I know what it is.
It's horrible. I was traumatized. It made me shut the computer off for about a month. I was traumatized. I saw a beheading once too, and that traumatized me. And so I said, I'm not surfing for shit anymore. And then I got caught up in that Illuminati bullshit. I was up, I'm like, my eyes were bleeding. I watched that since for about 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, oh my God, Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're fucking in Illuminati. But
you go crazy. Like you go from one extreme Illuminati, then you go to another thing. Then you.
It's all linked together, and then you can't answer the phone. You can't do nothing. And then what really gets you? The fucking spooky music. They put the fucking spooky music with all the Illuminati shit and the theories about Tupac's death and stuff. And now y'all, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and y'all fucked up.
Next thing you know, you're inside of a big arena listening to David Icke.
Who is that?
David Icke is like one of the conspiracy theorists that calls,
I like that.
That believes in the Illuminatis, and he calls. Remember when Tyson's interview, and he called Don King a reptilian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this guy tells you what a reptilian is. He
you
says
mean Tyson
that,
knew what it was?
Yeah, a reptilian is a person. Well, David Icke believes that the world was taken over by these aliens, and we are being run by reptilians, which is the Bushes, the Clintons, people, the Illuminati. He calls them the reptilian people.
I thought it was a person who looked like a reptile. Shit. I did. I know a couple of reptilian girls was at the club the other night.
With them long tongues.
Like a lizard.
Slithering everywhere.
I'm telling you, I pull up my pictures from my party, you'll see a reptilian or two. They're in the back, though. They couldn't sit at the table with me.
Well, happy Mother's Day, Lonell.
And happy Motherfuckers Day to you, too.
I hope you had a good time here on the What's Up Food podcast.
This, they're going to do a hella editing of this fucking thing. Must be 3 hours long, this goddamn show. But yeah, I had a great time. I was looking forward to this.
Me too.
And I hope that you had fun talking to me. And thank you for the nuts. I always need a nut or two.
Got
you. And thanks for my motherfucking Mother's Day package. That rocks. Whenever you're not getting paid, if you can always bring edibles and shit, we're okay with that.
All right.
I'm going to pop one of those Krispies right now.
Pop it.
I'm going to pop it, baby. I thank you.
Thank you, Lonell.
All right.
So people, if you want to check out Lonell,
my website.
Go to Lonell's webpage.
HeyLunell.com. HeyLunell.com.
And look for her in Think Like a Man 2 on June 20, or better yet, which way it comes on Netflix and pause it.
Right, and Californication, this third season, and the third season of Ricky Smiley Show as well.
And a David Show.
And David Tell. Gangster ass comedy special, and Fluffy's new DVD that's going to be coming out. I think I'll be on there. They didn't put me on the TV show. They said it was not going to. But
you
I will
still
make
killed
it,
right?
Oh, fine, I get residuals too.
Well, thank you, Lonell. What's up, fool? Felipe Esparza. Thank you for listening. These are my following dates. In May, I'll be in Tempe, Arizona. Albuquerque, New Mexico, sold out. Tucson, Arizona. Victoria, Texas, and Orlando Improv at the end of the month. Go to FelipeSworld.com for ticket information.